Hey, welcome to Church Online for our final sermon today on Hebrews. It's been a great journey. And if you're following online and you have YouVersion, there's some information there that you might want just to follow along with the sermon. It's going to be a shorter message today and hopefully just a bit of an overview and an encouragement for some of the key things that Hebrews has taught us. And as I jump into it, why don't we just pray? So Father, I ask for your blessing today and I thank you for this great book and for the just for the life that is breathed into our Christian faith and encouragement. Thank you that you're telling us again today to stay the course and keep faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we titled this series Staying the Course because that was the encouragement to the Hebrew church. The writer was so clear about that. And he was so clear that they didn't lose the importance of the moment they were in their lives. Just yesterday, I had the privilege of sitting and chatting with someone for nearly an hour as we talked about ministry and a few different other things. And they were reflecting and telling me a story about when they were quite a few years younger than what they were when they were telling me, that they'd had a major life event where they'd had a medical situation. It was actually a life-threatening medical situation where they had a heart attack. And they were taken in a ambulance to the hospital. Their heart stopped. A whole range of things were employed to get them restarted and rerunning. And after the person was well and sitting up, or at least conscious again, a registrar told them that their heart was failing and they weren't sure how long they had to live. Can you imagine that news being given to you as a person who was enjoying a good day and all of a sudden everything goes to mud? Now this happened decades ago and they were just reflecting to me that the registrar actually and the doctors later realised that the tests were incomplete and had been read wrong and that in fact the person's still enjoying a good life and this was decades earlier. But that for them has been a watershed moment that has helped them frame their life. It has helped clarify the decisions they've made, the directions they've taken, and the way they've chosen to live their life for Jesus, to make every day count. And many of us here listening today have possibly had those moments with medical situations where we've been confronted with their mortality and we realize that we need to start making our life count. And as we look at this book today for the last time in Hebrews, that really is the message that the Hebrew writer is saying to these group of Christians dispersed. He's telling them to make your life count and choose every day to follow Jesus. Because really the choices that you make in life will determine the direction that you take. And the passage that Rowan read so well for us before, let me read it to you again. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. Some have characterized this passage as the key verse or the theme verse of Hebrews that covers all that the writer wanted to say. And obviously it's a very broad book, theologically as well as just practically, but this encapsulates it so well. Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching of Christ. So the encouragement that he gives in this short little passage, I'm breaking up into three different areas of our life. And the first one is that we need to be faithful to Jesus. Look at verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. You know, when we gave our life to the Lord and when we made that decision to trust and follow him, that came after a series of smaller decisions and realizations. It was brought about because we realized that Jesus was the only hope that we had. We realized, in fact, that Jesus was Lord and who he said he was. We realized that he was the solution to the sin problem that we lived with. And that if we invited him into our life, after doing that, we realized that he would become our friend and our guide for all of life. And he is faithful. And that is the point of this, that we are called to follow Jesus. And really, when you think about that and the magnitude of who Jesus is and how Revelation talks, he was the one that brought creation into being, and he was there when all things happened. He's always existed. He is one with the Father and one part of three in the Trinity. That he would even dare to consider us when you compare his magnificence and his power and his authority and all that he has, that he was called the Word in heaven in John 1. And that he chose to humble himself, come to earth for us, not because he needed us, but because we needed him, and because he was driven by love. And all of this is just so important for us to understand today, that we need to put Jesus first. We need to be faithful to Jesus in our life. Over the course of this series, we've shared, and you've seen these video clips that we've been doing called Staying the Course, and so many people have just shared stories about how Jesus has been in their life and how they relate daily to Jesus. Jesus wants us to be faithful to him because he is faithful to us, because he died for us, because he is the only solution that we have. And all of this, of course, is driven by love and his character and his nature. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 13 says this in the Contemporary English Version. It says, if we are not faithful, he is still faithful. Christ cannot deny who he is. His very character is love. God is love. And today, as we think about Hebrews and all of the instruction that's been given, the number one, underline it, the number one exhortation is that we would continue to follow Jesus and be faithful. Listen to what Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14. We have come to share in Christ if we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. Now, choices that we make in life will determine the outcomes that we have. And you'll see on the screen some bad choices. You wonder about the outcome of some of these. How fast did he go around the corner? Or were the hydraulics good enough to sustain them through the whole of their lunch break? Choices can determine our purpose so clearly. And so Hebrews is littered, literally, with this one little statement called let us. And there's 14 different times that the writer says he calls us, he beckons us, he urges us to continue to follow Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1, he says, let us be careful not to fall away. In 4 verse 11, he says, let us be careful to be diligent. Let us be careful to hold fast in Hebrews 4 verse 14. Let us draw near to Christ and his throne of grace with confidence. 6 verse 1, let us leave the elementary teachings, the simple things, and go on to maturity. 10 verse 22, let us draw near to Christ. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly the passage that we're speaking about today, that let's not veer to the left or the right, but stay focused and straight ahead. 10:24, let us stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Hebrews 12 verse 1, let us lay aside every encumbrance or sin that entangles us and run the race with endurance. Hebrews 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. 12:28, let us be thankful. Let us go out and tell others in Hebrews 13:13. And then finally in 13:15, he finishes by saying, let us offer praise to God, a sacrifice of praise. You see, Jesus calls us, the writer urges us to be faithful to him, to stay the course, to make decisions that are wise and to see us on a track going forward into the future. But of course, when I was in Sunday school, we used to have this little acronym called JOY, and it stood for Jesus, others, and then yourself. And I remember talking about that and being taught that. And see, the relationship that Jesus gives us isn't just for ourselves, but it's for others. And it's for us to share that with others. And that's what he speaks to in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, that we also need to be faithful to the world around us. Let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds. And if you read through the book of Titus, you'll see there's this phrase about love and good deeds and righteous acts. And it's got this spiritual overtone to it. It's not just being a good person, but it's being done. It's about us exercising Christ's love with the things that we have to bless others and bring a blessing in our world. I love what Jesus said when he was asked a tricky question in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind and strength. And the second greatest instruction or commandment is to love others as yourselves. And there are no other commandments greater than these. And this is the point that who is our neighbour? The one nearest to us, the people around us, the ones that we can bless. And so we need to be faithful to Christ, and out of that relationship with Jesus comes this overflow that spills out into the world around us where we can bless others. And that's what he says in this one of the let us's in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13, was that he calls us to go out and to take Jesus's love. The Jesus's love that has impacted us, that keeps us on course, that keeps us strong and reliant upon him, causes us to go out and give to others. Jesus spent his whole life serving and loving people. And he calls us to live selfless lives that aren't just about ourselves, but for others as well, out of his love and his direction. And of course, there's a third thing that he says in this passage, and that is that we need to be faithful to each other, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Faithful to Jesus, faithful to our world, and faithful to those that we're on this journey with. Hebrews 10:25 says, not giving up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, that's brothers and sisters in the Lord, all the more as you see the day of Christ approaching. In other words, in our life, we just are called to love Jesus, love those around us, and encourage others on the journey with us to do the same. I heard it once said that the choices of our, sorry, one person has once said that our lives reflect the sum total of our choices that we make. And I remember a counsellor once saying to a friend of mine who had his life in a horrible mess, he simply said, choices got you where you are, and choices, good choices, will get you out of where you are. So we are being called, we're being urged, we're being pushed to make the choice to follow Jesus faithfully. And out of that overflow will come ministry that's effective to our world and a blessing to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. There's this big debate amongst psychologists and such like about the whole discussion about nature versus nurture. And there's a few photos here that I'll show you. The first one's of a lady called Marina Chapman, who was just 4 years old when she was kidnapped in 1954. Her kidnappers left her in the jungle where she was growing up amidst a family of monkeys. She ate berries, roots and bananas and dropped bananas dropped by the monkeys, slept in the holes in the tree and walked on all four like a monkey. And here's another boy called Bello who was a bandit at just 6 months old and raised by monkeys as well. At the time of his rescue, he was about the age of two, and Bello walked using his legs but dragged his arms on the ground like a chimpanzee. He would leap about shrieking like an ape. And, you know, this is a big discussion and I don't really want to get into it, but get into it in depth. But it is true, isn't it, that those that are around us do determine and affect the way that we live life. And nature is affected by the nurture that we receive. And that is the point of this passage when he says, don't give up the meeting of others. Because really he's wanting to ask the question and make the point that who is influencing you and who is that point of influence in your life? And really the question needs to be asked, is it Christ or is it culture? Because if we're on our own in the world and we're not walking with our brothers and sisters, then really it's going to be the culture and the world around us that impacts us. But we get to choose in this. If it's Christ, then we will do all that we can to hang out with Christian friends, to be reading and praying and spending time in God's word together, of sharing stories of God's love and grace and provision. Listen to what Hebrews 3 verse 12 to 13 says. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart and turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, because the choices we make determine the paths that we take. And so today, are your values being eroded by culture or informed and established by Christ? Are you being raised by a pack of monkeys, or are you reflecting the love of Jesus and being conformed to his image as you grow in your faith? Is it Christ or culture today? And I want to say that if you're someone who loves Jesus and says you're a believer, but you don't associate with Christians and you're not doing spiritual disciplines of prayer and Bible reading and being in fellowship with others and taking time to be a part of a community of faith and engage in a community of faith, then it's going to be very difficult for you to be formed in a way that is really reflecting Christ. Instead, you'll have a form of religion, but there won't be any power there. Timothy talks about this, having a form of religion, but really not reflecting the whole amount. And so what choices are you making today? And I just want to finish with that and just say this little statement. The choices we make will determine the paths that we take. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25. Let us hold firm unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day of Christ appearing. May you stay the course. May you stay hold and keep hold of Jesus' hand as you walk through this life. And as you move with your brothers and sisters with the Lord, overflowing with Jesus' love and filled with the Spirit, you'll be able to have effective ministry in your world and be a blessing to everyone around you. Because ultimately we all want to live a purposeful life and have a life that is clarified and means something more than just existence, so that we can navigate this life with Jesus. And in putting Jesus first and in holding onto his hand, we will get that clarified life of purpose and completion in all that we do. Can I pray for you? Lord, thank you today for this amazing book, for this amazing message, to keep following you, to keep trusting you. I pray for those today that are struggling in that space, that they will know your grace and your blessing. I pray for those that maybe have become a bit lax in what's important in their life, that you would help them to refocus. And Lord, that ultimately each of us would know your love and your grace, and that out of that overflow, we can bless others and also be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.